Welcome to another episode of Meeting Bros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn. And as usual, my lovely co-host, Jessica Park, is in the studio with me. Welcome, Jessica.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm going through a move, so it's been a pain in the butt, but I am looking forward to it. I was hanging out at my new place. I went to a bar, and they actually have local superheroes. So there was guys dressed up as superheroes drinking beers, and they patrol the area. So that was very interesting.
That's hilarious.
But they were also telling me that Andre 3000 might be my neighbor, so I thought that was really cool. So.
Yeah, it's very cool. He was a regular customer of ours where I used to work.
So. Definitely. So what's new with you?
Well, it's a good day in my life when I find a jacket that I can button. And that happened for me today.
Is that one of those like success moments? You're like sitting there cheering?
Yes. And this past weekend was my baby shower. As you can imagine, my friends that threw my shower for me, they felt a lot of pressure throwing a baby shower for an event planner. So
how did they do?
It was over the top.
What was the Yelp review that you wrote to them?
Yeah, right. They flew a henna artist in for my party to do henna for everybody because I have tattoos, and they figured all my friends would love to have tattoos at my shower, and I got a big old henna tattoo on my belly.
That is really cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you brought a bunch of people in the studio today. I was a little intimidated. I thought it was going to be an easy day. But not at all. But no, you brought some great folks in the studio with us.
Yes.
Who's in the studio with us today?
Today we have Matt Coggin with DBA Barbecue. We have Kimberly Wright with Breathless Moments Interior Design and Event Planning.
That's why I don't do this.
We have Jen and Adam Linke with The Decisive Moment and the Atlanta Wedding Loft. And we have Violaine Diogene with Andre Winfrey Events.
Very good. Well, I think we're going to start.
And I got a nod, so I said that last one, and I did
again. Why I don't do that? Well, we're going to start first with Matt because we all love his barbecue. It's some of the best in Atlanta. So, welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself. I want to know your back history, how you got into this, and what made you want to start a restaurant.
Well, I hate to tell anybody, but I'm actually from Minnesota. But I still think I can make some barbecue. I moved here when I was like 7. You know, from that point, I can't be a local, but, you know, I'm at least pretty entrenched.
We'll count it. That's more local than most people that live in Atlanta.
So. True.
It's 33 years. So
I'm like one of the 10 people born here. So
I'm two of the 10. Three of the 10?
Three
wow.
of the 10.
Three in one room. That's pretty good.
That's impressive. Well, I think I'd do well in the room then. You know, DBA basically came out of... I've always worked in fine dining restaurants, got kind of tired of,
fancy smancy stuff.
Yeah, serving people that really did just want to be seen but didn't really want to eat. It really wasn't for me anymore. I worked in Virginia Highlands for a long time, and when the economy started going down in about 2009, things started popping up, and we decided to go and take the jump, take the risk. It wasn't exactly the best time to open a new business or restaurant. But the economy did weed out some people that needed to go. We got a great space in Virginia Highlands, which is a neighborhood I've worked in for 15 plus years. So it was a nice head start. That opening night, I pretty much knew everybody in the dining room. But I'm not going to lie, it was a very hectic, painful opening night. my parents didn't get their food for maybe 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, I eventually just kind of ran into the kitchen and said, all right, y'all, I got to feed them before, you know, they disown me. But since then, over the last 4.5 years, it's really grown. We started out just dealing with really the in-house business.
Mm-hmm.
But over the last 2 years, we've really started growing the catering business.
Definitely. Yeah, I knew you guys catered, but I don't know. A lot of people do. They don't think of DBA, and they don't think of catering, really.
I think part of that is that people kind of see us at first is that we were just a neighborhood restaurant.
Yeah.
We weren't really pushing the catering, whereas a lot of barbecue restaurants actually start out as caterers or competitors or maybe even providing food to another restaurant, such as Fox Brothers was doing food through Smith's Old Bar. And so when they open up, they're really known as a caterer, and they're actually trying to just build the restaurant business slowly. Like, the restaurant's almost like Lagniappe.
Yeah, exactly. It's the side dish where they're like, this is our main business.
Oh, they did 50 people today. Oh, but we did $3,000 in catering.
Wow.
You know, so it's not, you know, it's not, that's how the, you know, their model was. Whereas our model was, maybe not the best model for barbecue. It's the exact opposite. We concentrated on opening a neighborhood restaurant first, being a caterer second, because until I felt like my food was right, I didn't want to do an event for 300 people and turn off 296 of them.
Well, it's more fun to be able to go in there and grab a beer and then be like, oh, you're doing all your jobs right, than having to be driving to different places and actually like working. That's why I do this. So.
Well, especially don't drive after having all the beer.
Exactly.
As far as being a caterer, I mean, we do what you would think traditionally as far as, you know, nine different meats, you know, the sides, you know, basically looks like a potluck a lot of times. Mm-hmm. But it's gotten to the point that, you know, we don't do a lot of weddings, but we do a lot of rehearsal dinners.
Definitely.
Because that's where people want to be able to
The guys probably love you.
Yeah. And people actually get to eat before maybe they go out for the last night before the, you know, before the wedding. They can invite a bigger group of people and not necessarily
break the bank,
save some money for the honeymoon or for the 401k, whatever. Oh, yeah, this is not a relationship. But, you know, we also have been doing, you know, like beef tenderloins, whole pigs for people that want to, like, do something a little special. Like,
Does that look like? Did you just bring out the whole pig also? Or?
Pretty much. We did a 50th birthday last weekend where we did, you know, about eight different sides and some other meats. But the main thing was a 80-pound pig that we smoked it. And then once we pulled out the spine and the ribs, people could just come pick off it.
Sounds like a good thing for my fantasy football league next year. I'll bring everyone in, just have a giant pig.
Yeah, if you lose, you win.
Exactly.
Yes. It's my understanding that you're a barbecue pit master. How did you get that title?
That's a lot of pressure.
I don't know how one gets the title other than I just spent a lot of time working, sweating,
hours,
smelling.
Yeah.
Basically, I didn't originally do the barbecue when we first opened. I made a mistake of hiring some kitchen managers.
And 2 hours later, and his parents were hungry. So.
Yeah, right. The first kitchen manager was relieved after 3 weeks of being with us, and then I had a couple good ones, but in the end, I was like, it's still not my style.
Yeah.
So I eventually took it over. I took it over for about a year. At this point, I have two gentlemen, Brian and Chris. All they do all day, this doesn't sound good, is massage meat. That's all they do. Season meat, slap some butts, clean some ribs. That's all they do all day. But they do it the way I showed them to do it. Mm-hmm. And they both do it the same too, which means that no matter what now, it should always taste the same.
Yeah.
It's Matt Coggins certified.
finally. And then I've had the same Miss Bev, who's hopefully going to retire with me, hopefully not this year. But she's been doing my sides for about 3 years, so that's...
She's got the name. The name does it all right there. That's Southern right now.
Well, Miss Bev, she's a fun lady.
Definitely. All right, I have to ask this. I'm a big macaroni and cheese guy. You guys do some macaroni and cheese, right?
It's definitely the number one thing that goes out the door. I mean,
definitely.
We do a four-cheese mac and cheese. Ooh. It's baked. It is still kid-friendly. We try to put a little bit of kick in it, but it's still kid-friendly. But like we have a little spot over at Emory, and I swear that's all those kids eat. That's all they're eating. They're not eating any meat. They're just eating mac and cheese.
Saving kids one mac and cheese at a time.
They're going to die of scurvy.
So what does DBA stand for? I'm curious. I've always wondered.
Doing Business As.
Really?
Doing Business As Barbecue. I had a lot of fancy names for the place that nobody liked, so I decided to call it the simplest thing possible, which kind of means like the name doesn't mean anything. Just come eat.
Definitely.
We were going to name it after a musician, and you know everybody thought of we were going to name it after Kermit Ruffins and the Barbecue Swingers, so Kermit's Barbecue, because this guy would...
I would have thought of Kermit the Frog.
Exactly. But this guy was Southern Hospitality. He'd feed you before a show, feed you in between sets. He'd bring a smoker out to the show. So it seemed like a good Southern Hospitality, but yeah, everybody thinks of a frog.
Exactly.
I'm in a kid-friendly neighborhood. I don't want people to think I'm selling like onesies or something.
I always thought DBA was like a badass name. Like it's something that was like...
When we first opened, Demi and Ashton came in when they were filming Killers.
Yeah.
So people thought it was Demi, Bruce, and Ashton. They thought they owned it. Which, you know, that would have been great if they were actually writing the checks when we were first open. But no, they just ate there like twice.
So explain the process, and maybe luck was involved. How do you become a staple in Atlanta? Because DBA is now a staple in barbecue in Atlanta. It's like there's Fat Maps and there's DBA. So those are the two staples of Atlanta.
There's a couple other, but, you know.
Well, I like Hottie Hogs, too. But, I mean, you guys do great stuff.
I think the number one thing was that we're in a great neighborhood and we definitely embraced our neighborhood. You know, we didn't try to to do too much too quickly. Mm-hmm. I took a lot of feedback from people right away. Like I said, you know, I let my first kitchen manager go after 3 weeks. It might have been from like 46 bad Yelp reviews might have influenced my decision.
Those are really easy to get. The good ones aren't that easy to get. So
yeah, at this point, I have true. Like 305 reviews, so it would take like a tornado to affect it at this point.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, we've had great reviews for the last, you know, 3 years. It's just that first year was painful. We had the wrong smokers. We had the wrong people. We eventually, you know, got the right smokers, the right people, the right, you know, and just kept building and building. You know, I walk around the restaurant on a regular basis. People will actually be tweeting while they're there eating. I'll get a little alert on my phone. I'll walk up and actually introduce myself. You know, maybe buy them a shot. Maybe. Or, you know, they just give them a piece of bacon. I mean, saltine crackers work with kids, and bacon works with adults.
Yeah, it's amazing. It does. So, it would be a win for me.
Yeah, just definitely. Walk by with a little bit of bacon.
So are you guys thinking of expanding out? Are you going to stay locally with the community? Because the community is a huge part of barbecue. Everyone knows that. So that's the secret sauce, I think.
But well, even the barbecue entrepreneurs, like I'm friends with a lot of people that own barbecue restaurants, because if you're going to borrow 5 cases of pork butt, you're not going to go next door to the Thai restaurant. They're not going to have it.
They have maybe dog or something.
Or like, you know, when Fox Brothers, when they had got a tree through the roof, Community Q helped them fill their catering orders.
Yeah.
So that way their customers, they get, you know, get the bad side of the tree, I guess you could say.
Definitely.
Yeah, that was brutal. I drove by there and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a tree in that restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, I did the barbecue festival last year and I forgot to bring night lights. The Fox Brothers just came by and clipped up a couple lights on my tent. It's like, all right, you good to go?
See,
that's great.
That's awesome. That's a great community. So you guys are all helping. And you guys all have different tastes, too. So yeah. You guys don't think about it as a competition.
We all have different styles. I mean, yeah, I guess we do all compete on a catering stage.
Yeah.
But as far as like the neighborhood restaurant, I think I compete more with the Mexican restaurant next door to me than I do any other barbecue restaurant.
Yeah, they're very community centric. So speaking of competing, you guys won some awards, right?
We've done all right. I did the barbecue festival not this year, but the previous year I got I think it was 4th in ribs, 5th in chicken, 5th in sauce. I might have bought some farm to table pork that didn't turn out very well.
You're trying to do the right thing too.
I know. I tried to do the right thing and it didn't do me right at all. So I think I got like 10th overall. If I would have just done okay in pork, I probably would have done like top 5. But I've been open for 4.5 years, so that's a win. I'll take that.
That's huge. It's definitely huge, especially in Atlanta.
We did open another one at Emory, which is part of just like their student rec center. And right now I'm looking in Dunwoody to open in Dunwoody.
Okay.
So
they'd really embrace you in Dunwoody.
So. Yeah. I went to Dunwoody High School. I went to high school a mile from this place I'm looking at. So I'm pretty excited. I already have a good social network up there, so we'd have a good head start.
It's near me, so that's always good. So
it's near the studio
exactly.
Here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's the building is better set up for barbecue than us being in the middle of Virginia Highlands, where I have like 2 smokers in the parking lot.
Definitely.
You know, next to a coffee shop. That smell does not really mix that well. But, you know, as far as just, yeah, building a neighborhood. But at this point, we are trying to look beyond.
So for like maybe the 3 people that haven't been to your restaurant in Atlanta or don't know about it, what are the menu items that just go through the menu?
Well, kind of because we are doing business as barbecue. We did a lot of things at this point. I mean, we are known for pulled pork and our ribs, but I mean, I think we have some of the best brisket in town. But our little hidden gem is actually we do our own smoked pastrami, which I take brisket and I cure it for about 17 days. And then we smoke it for about 14 hours to do our own pastrami, which you wouldn't think a barbecue restaurant doing pastrami, but it seemed like a good little fit for us. We also do turkey, which is a big, big thing in our neighborhood. In fact, first opening week,
just health conscious people.
Yeah, I kept running out of turkey when I first opened, not ribs.
But they can feel healthy about going to a barbecue joint.
Which has worked out for us because we do whole turkeys for Thanksgiving. So it kind of gives people a sample of, hey, you like this 1 or 2 slices you had. You don't want to make Thanksgiving dinner.
Impress your in-laws.
Mm-hmm. Bribe your in-laws.
Exactly. Does anyone ever take credit? Do they come get the turkey and then they like show it off? Like,
yeah, that's fine.
I would.
People do that. People do it on 4th of July with our ribs. We do definitely a ton of takeout 4th of July. And, you
they
know,
like
people
throw them on the grill.
Throw on the grill, pretend that they did it.
Yeah.
That's fine. I prefer that we get some credit for it. But, you know, if they get you to come back again and buy some more so you can take credit again, I'm good with it.
Definitely.
That's fine. But since day one, the sides have been the biggest thing. I mean, a lot of barbecue places only do like slaw, potato salad, baked beans, and stew. We usually have about 15 sides, including, you know, Brussels sprouts that are actually still green.
Okra, right?
We do okra during the summer. We do the Brussels sprouts during fall and winter. But we treat our vegetables like vegetables. They're not supposed to be gray. They're not supposed to be heavily stewed. We want it to actually still have a vitamin or two in it and not completely tasting like salt.
Definitely.
So we try to, because we're in a good neighborhood, a healthy neighborhood, you know, a lot of turkey and, you know, a lot of green sides, a lot of big entree salads with like pulled chicken, smoked chicken cob or a smoked turkey salad like cranberry, pecan, and fried onion and mixed greens.
That sounds really
good. And
then
just add some bacon and then it, you know, then it's for me.
Definitely. I'm going to have to go there after this. So. We're about to show around lunch. I want to talk about the catering just a little bit. You get into it. How big of the catering and how small do you guys do for catering?
We do anything as up to size of like office lunches. In fact, you know, this time of year we're doing a lot of office lunches for people that are doing like team building exercise, that kind
of
stuff.
How small of an office lunch? I'm going this because we don't.
All right, we deliver on Zifty for two people, if that's
okay.
What you're looking for.
All right, yeah, all right. So.
But typically about 20 people. But then we've also done, we did Counterpoint Festival, which is, we had to be down there for 3 days. And I mean, that was thousands of people. I don't know how much they ate the first day. But right now, we did a 150 person wedding last week. But I think the biggest thing we've done so far is a 1,000-person rap party for Atlanta Hemp Film Festival.
Okay.
And once you do a couple big things, the little stuff really seems really easy.
Yeah, really easy. So you guys do it all. So you guys can handle any kind of capacity for catering.
Pretty much at this point. I mean, we now have a pretty big mobile smoker, a van, can rent some vans, decent amount of staff. We've been stockpiling supplies. But as far as just handling the food, I mean, biggest I did Summerfest, which I made food for 9,000 people.
Oh, no biggie.
Plus the food for the restaurant, because it's our busiest weekend of the year as well. So, I mean, we were able to make enough food that probably covered about 11,000 people.
So, once you do that, like you said, anything.
Anything after that, it seems pretty easy. Or we could just, you know, Thanksgiving dinner for six people is a lot easier.
Definitely. All right, so how do people reach out? How do they get in touch with catering? And talk about your locations one more time for us.
We're located in Virginia Highland. We're right at North Highland in Amsterdam, so just in between Morningside and Virginia Highland. It's a full service, full parking, covered patio. It's 1190 North Highland Avenue. You can contact us through our website, dbabbq.com, or email at catering@dbabbq.com.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being on the show, making us all very hungry.
Sorry I didn't bring any food. I would have brought it.
Next time. I'll put that on Jessica's. Yeah. Not at all, but thanks so much for coming on, and how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Sure thing, thanks.
All right, well, next up on Meeting Pros, we've got Kimberly Wright with Breathless Moments Interior Design and Event Planning. Welcome to the show, Kimberly.
Hello, how are you?
I am doing great. Give us a little backstory about yourself. You're an entrepreneur, right?
Yes, I'm an entrepreneur.
Just walk me through it.
A multi-passionate entrepreneur. Breathless Moments Interior Design and Event Planning has been my baby for about 15 years. We started out in the Carolinas, Greensboro. I love Greensboro. So
very
we
beautiful.
Started in Greensboro. And we came to Atlanta in 2004 and started doing small things, and it just led to so much more.
Definitely. All right. So go into it. What do you guys do? What do you guys handle? Let me know.
Well, we handle, as far as our interior design division, we do, we fell in love with doing apartments for newlyweds, and then we moved on to homes. Our event planning, we do conferences, retreats, corporate events, a lot of the corporate sides. We also do social celebrations and special occasions.
Okay, so Breathless Moments. So how'd you come up with that name? We all know what the know that. That's a picture in my mind of those breathless moments.
Yeah, we give breathless moments, and we have three fairy godmothers on hand to make sure everything goes perfect for you. You get your own fairy godmother, but then we have other fairy godmothers that back her up. We want to be sure that everything goes as perfectly as possible that day, and if there are any mishaps, we don't let you know about them because we take care of them before you even find out.
All right. Awesome. So, fairy godmothers, how did you come up with that idea?
Yeah, you know, it's my gift. I'm into the marketing aspect of it. Instead of event planners, we have fairy godmothers. They make all your wishes come true. Don't let you down. And they plan everything out. They have a questionnaire. They get to know you. They meet one-on-one. We just did a conference in South Carolina recently, and we had a ball because by the end of the conference, everybody was friends, and they had no idea what had gone on behind the scenes, as conferences so would do. But we made sure everything went smoothly, and it's just everybody who's on our team is their passion.
All right. Well, walk me through a customer engagement. How does this work? Someone comes into you. They want interior design done. How does interior design work? I know nothing about interior design. My girlfriend says, oh, this room has the black and gold color scheme. Or should we go to the green and blue? I'm just like, what? No, does it matter? These pillows, I just move them out of the way when I sit on the couch.
It does matter. No. It does matter. We encourage all of our clientele to select an accessory that they just gotta have.
And when big screen TV. There we go.
Okay, we'll go with the big screen TV. Now, when you get the big screen TV, which colors jump out at you from your favorite programming?
I don't know.
Something about the big screen TV jumps out at you.
It's so really big in sports and football. And
okay. Jessica, what's your favorite accessory?
There we go.
I love jewelry. I love fun accent jewelry.
Okay, so if you give us like the necklace that Jessica has on, it's a beautiful necklace with diamonds in it and gold. So those would be your base colors. Those would be your base colors for decorating the room. And we would pick one more accent color to bring out the room and make it pop.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at that, that's more of a Z Gallery type of necklace. So we would get some Z Gallery accessories or home good accessories that are
that look like more
Z Gallery that are more moderately priced. And we would decorate from there. We need to know your personality, what makes you tick, what makes you vibrant. Mm-hmm. And we would bring all those aspects out in the room, whether it be the bedroom or the dining room or the kitchen. We have a nice portfolio. We have a team that one of our designers, she just is Diane Valentine on 10. She decorates a room like no other. Like Preston Bailey, Diane Valentine on 10. And then another one of our designers, we call her our hippie spirit. She knows, she gets the hippies. She
gets them 100%.
Yeah, she gets them 100%. And then you have me who goes for the classy, sassy, and bold.
I like that, classy.
Classy, sassy, and bold, yes. Yes. So we embrace you. We got to know your personality type, your favorite colors. But we like to start with just one little accessory, and we take that accessory and build the room out from there.
Okay.
Cool.
So what do you like doing more? What do you guys do in the event space then? Do you do the same thing? Does things translate over? Is it
in
sort
of
different?
In the event space, it's kind of tricky. I personally am a designer who will ask you for your favorite accessory because that says a lot about you. And I create a room around that style. Yolanda, one of our other event planners, she prefers to know what makes you tick, what makes you vibrant. And she recreates the room like no other. So it just depends on what the event is and what your style is.
Okay. Do you guys do the from soup to nuts events or just sort of the decorations around it?
No, from soup to nuts.
All right.
Yes.
So you guys do food also? Well, I know a really good caterer. I got the hookup.
Well, let me tell you, that good caterer is my kitchen twice a month.
My smoker is my accessory.
Yeah, but you know, your brisket. We're going to let your brisket, we're going to build out from the brisket.
Okay.
And from the Brunswick stew. We can build it out from the Brunswick stew.
A meat couch. Okay.
Yes. But we bring events to life. We make it your dream come true. We want it to be a breathless moment for all involved. And I just love what I do. I'm so passionate about it.
So what kind of events do you do? Do you do corporate events? Do you do weddings? Do you do fantasy football parties?
Well, I will say this. I used to do weddings until I had a real-life bridezilla. So I now stick strictly to corporate events, women's conferences, retreats, girls' getaways, boys' getaways. Just those kind of small events.
Okay, so
you
like
your boys' getaway there,
yes.
Kevin.
There we go. So you like to go with the small little.
Well, when I
intimate.
Say small, I've done as big as a crowd as 500, and I've done as small a crowd as 60.
Okay.
So I don't like to go above 500 because I always like to throw in extra little goodies to surprise my guests and my clientele from me,
mm-hmm.
Not from their budget. So I'd like to keep it at a number I know I can handle.
Definitely. Well, I bet that makes it more intimate, more fun for you also. And you're making these connections. I'm sure that you get so much referral business from this, from people having such a good time.
Yes, absolutely. And I have a travel agency as well, Breathless Moments Travel, which was created to help my clientele get the best rates and discounts on their travels and their hotels and specials and all that. Because I love doing the whole soup thing.
Yeah.
And I just like taking care of my clientele.
So they want to do anything. They just come to you. And they're like, I want to buy a house. My kids need to go to this school.
Well, no, this event. I'm not a jack of all trades, master of none. I'm just multi-passionate about certain aspects.
And so definitely, but you're amazing at all those aspects.
Yeah, I am amazing at all those aspects. I mean, I will definitely take that.
Good. So what's next for you guys? So
right now we're in the middle of planning a women's conference in Scottsdale, Arizona, and in Orlando, Florida. That's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a week long, West Coast and East Coast, and it's a retreat for women to refresh, rejuvenate, and just do them, discover their way back to themselves. And that's going to be in June of 2014 and January of 2015.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, that has me running right now.
Definitely. I want to know how social media and all this new technology, how's it impacting your business?
Oh, I love it. I love it to life. Social media is my thing. Everybody needs a Facebook page, Instagram page, and Twitter page. As long as you have those, you are in the game. If you do not have those, we need to talk.
I'm just starting this Twitter thing. It's been I never liked it, but I'm starting to give in to all the peer pressure.
You started following me just a couple days ago.
I was following.
Like, I got Kevin. Yeah.
Like everybody was like, you're meeting all these people. You need to start tweeting about them. I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah, we gotta get you to come on board and make this happen.
Exactly. All right. Well, Kimberly, tell us your contact information, how people reach out to you and get a hold of you and hire you.
Yes, I am Kimberly, K-I-M-B-E-R-L-Y, at breathlessmomentsllc.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to have you pass your mic over there to Adam because we didn't have a mic for him, and I want to give him one. He was laughing at all my jokes. So, and maybe give him your headphones, too, so he can hear himself. So, all right. So next up on Meeting Pros, we have Jen and Adam Linke. With the decisive moments and letting and the wedding loft. There we go. I'm butchering everything. So did I at least get your last name right?
Yes.
Thank you. Yep. All right. Perfect. Well, welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your guys' business and how you got into it.
All right. Well, we'll start off a little bit with the decisive moment. It's just one moment.
Just one
singular moment at a time. we get that a lot. No figurines, no with big eyes and things like that, no moments. But the Decisive Moment is a wedding photojournalism company. So we are a group of photojournalists that all work together for the wedding side of our photography businesses. So right now we have three photographers that are our primary photographers, and we do wedding photojournalism at events, which means very unobtrusive wedding photography, where we have a crazy idea that our brides and grooms should remember the event and remember each other and their families, and we kind of stand back and capture all those real moments. We do not get in the way, and we don't direct, we don't whisk them off to a field of flowers while their guests all stand around and wait for 4 hours.
That's great.
Definitely. Yes. That's awesome. The photojournalism, I haven't heard that before. That's a really good tagline for what you guys do at weddings.
Yep. You don't line them up by height and by family member.
Unobtrusive.
Yeah, we do
Toyota jumps.
No. We are not your 1-2-3 jump photographer. We have to do post portraits because if we hadn't, a mother would have killed me long before now. So you have to do those posed moments, and you want those. Your family's together, you're dressed up. We try to do them quickly and painlessly as much as possible, and we just do the ones that our brides want. So for the most part, our clientele, you know, they just want a few. Sometimes we'll get the bride that has the 4-page list, and we'll try to talk her out of it. But if we can't, that's okay.
After that, they can just enjoy the event, and then they still get the memories. So I know that's a problem with a lot. You talk a lot of people at their wedding, they don't really remember or have that good of a time. They're always posing and doing this or that, so they look good later on, like we see in social media all the time. But so you guys help with that process, really?
We do. You really get a different product when you have a client, when they're involved in the moment and they're doing something, they're experiencing an emotion. And when they have a picture of them experiencing that emotion, when they look at that, they're going to feel that all over again. Whereas, think about when you take a picture and somebody says, 1, 2, 3, what do? You freeze, you smile, and what are you feeling? nothing.
Look so, normal. Look
exactly.
normal.
Right. So, you know, when you look at those pictures, you don't feel an emotion really associated with that
Not
moment
at all.
Because you've already cut off those feelings. So we're really about catching those moments where every time you look at the picture, you go, oh, my gosh, I remember that feeling. And that way you can relive it through those pictures over and over again.
All right. So you guys are obviously married. I'm asking because I made this mistake once. There was a brother, sister, and it was obvious.
So, definitely married.
There we go. So how is working together, and how do you guys decide to do this? So that's brave.
He's diving into the deep questions.
I am.
Oh, danger zone.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's great. It's not every day. I think it's not for every married couple to work every day together. At home, at work, everywhere. You know, and there's been some speed bumps along the way, but
there always is.
It's a great experience. I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, we came into this together saying, you know, we want to have a career together. I think having specific roles makes a huge difference. You know, she does all her sales and marketing. I'm one of the photographers. I do some of the financial stuff under the hood.
Play to your strong points.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, a team of all-stars. You know, we have an album designer that just does albums. We have an editor that just edits.
Right. It's not just the two of us. We actually have a team. We take a team approach to weddings. So our photographers just do photography. We have an editor that just does editing. Our whole philosophy for our company is do what you do best and let somebody else do the rest.
That's great.
That's our philosophy.
That is our philosophy as well. So I love that. And it also had been easier. It's scary starting your own business too, but having someone else to do and have the responsibility and share the fears together, it must have really helped.
Yes. Yes. Wait, safe answer says
Pause.
Yes. Yeah, you know, you go through the same stuff at the same time, and that can be both reassuring and scary. You know, it took us a while as we were growing the businesses. We didn't have all of our eggs in one basket, per se, at the very beginning.
Oh,
he
definitely.
Was working outside of the company. Mm-hmm. I was running the business side the full time.
I did a lot of consulting work on the side, business development stuff for small companies before we kind of put all our eggs in one basket.
Oh, that's helpful.
Yeah, that's huge.
You make sure
and that business experience.
First,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But we've been very fortunate. So
all right, so why a photography company? Because there is a lot of competition out there, isn't there? Or
there is a lot. There are a lot of photography companies. I'll put it that way.
They're not competition.
Well,
so.
I have an interesting view on competition. You know, there are a million different ways to photograph something. There are a million different options that you can take. We're very passionate about our approach to photography, and there are going to be people that really connect with our approach and really connect with us as people, and that is awesome. I just feel like it's such a wide range within
there
the photography
There are enough
realm.
Weddings to go around, too.
There
There's
are.
No reason to fight over the
right.
clients.
We play nice with others.
I mean, there are over 30,
plenty.
What is it, 34,000 weddings a year in Atlanta.
Yeah.
There's plenty of weddings for everybody.
Yeah.
And we have a pretty friendly community of photographers, you know. I mean, we refer stuff out. If it's stylistically, you know, they're not resonating with our style, I know somebody that you know, shoots a more whimsical, different style than I do, and I have no problem saying, hey, you know
That's
what?
That's huge right there.
I think you'd be a much better fit for this person.
Come to me. I'll make sure you get the perfect wedding photographer
exactly.
for you, even if it's not me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
And what goes around comes around. You know, we have people that say, hey, oh, you want something that's very documentary? I know, you know, the decisive moment, these guys, this is what they do. We're very specific in our style. And that's what we do. You know, we don't really kind of veer outside that too much.
Yeah,
so
that's the ideal client,
specific.
Too, that's already done their research. They know your style, and they're like, we want this. That's the best.
Absolutely. But there are a lot of photographers out there, and there are a lot of wedding photographers. So, it can be a scary business to go into.
Definitely. Well, let's give some advice for maybe some newcomers that want to be you guys when they grow up. They love photography, and what should they do? I know there's a lot of the distractions with those for-profit schools that are like, hey, pay us $100,000, and we're going to teach you how to set your ISOs and all that kind of stuff. But what would you suggest for someone that's passionate about getting into the industry?
I think be specific. Be specific in your style. Be specific in who your ideal client is, and craft everything around that. I think that would be the same for a lot of small businesses, even outside the wedding industry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And specificity.
Specificity is huge. I think the other thing that is huge is pay your dues. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, especially in the wedding industry, there's not a bar that we take. There's not really a licensing thing.
Is there a bar you go to?
So absolutely. There are several.
After the wedding.
But, you know, there's not a line that says this person has experience, this person doesn't have experience. So it can be a scary thing both for other companies and for brides and grooms. And I think people carry that fear. But when you're starting out in this industry, pay your dues, do the work, and put that time in, learn your craft, whether it's planning or catering or photography, whatever it is you're doing, learn your craft and make sure before you launch out there on your own that you have a solid foundation and can offer clients something really, really valuable.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the Atlanta Wedding Loft. What is that? Sounds cool.
What is that? What is
our other project?
That's right. That's right. Multi-passionate. That's what you said,
that's right?
Multi-passionate.
That's right. We're going to use that.
Multi-passionate entrepreneurs. So the Wedding Loft really came out of the decisive moment, you know, as we grew, we changed price point and things like that as we had more experience. And we are kind of a unique group. Our photographers had a ton of experience. These are all photojournalists that work for the AJC. We've got a photographer that's had three covers of the New York Times. Amazing photojournalists that have had careers for quite some time in photography. And then we were joining together to do weddings. So we're probably 3 or 4 years old, and I'm wheeling my bag of albums into Starbucks with everybody else. And it didn't set me apart. How can they tell what I can do? You know, maybe somebody started their photography business 3 weeks ago and they're trying it out. I'm sitting here representing a 25-year rich photojournalist that's amazing, you know, and all of a sudden I'm not representing them how I should.
Okay.
So we knew we needed brick and mortar, but we only do weddings, and it's not like we can have a wedding in a studio and be like, will you stand on the backdrop and say, I do, it'll be gorgeous.
So
we'll green screen that.
Exactly. It'll be fine. So we needed a space, and we needed a space that represented the kind of photographers that we had and the kind of company that we were, and meeting in hotel lobbies or Starbucks or wherever, as so many wedding industry people do, it was not representing our business in the proper way. That being said, we also didn't want to take on a huge brick and mortar by ourselves that we only used for meetings at certain parts of the week. And we started to think, gosh, there have got to be other wedding professionals that are in the same boat we are. So what can we do to create a group of people that can share a space and share, you know, that's kind of sort of where it started. Now it's tank it on its own life. It shares a space. It shares marketing.
Phase one was share a space. Phase two became, well, let's collaborate a little bit. Let's, you know, collaborate on marketing and how can we share leads and all grow as businesses. So it really became more of a collective. But what started out is very much like, let's have a very wedding-centric space.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it started out as just having a wonderful, beautiful space to meet that was very wedding-centric, and then all of a sudden we were doing marketing and advertising and events. So now it is a space where established wedding-related companies can come in and have a place to live and a place to meet clients that is centered around what we all do and is also a great place to sort of share leads and share experience. You know, we're all sole proprietors. You have very little interaction. It's so nice to have a work community, even though you're a small business, you know, and be able to share and relate and talk about your clients and
things
like that.
It's like the cool kids club for wedding professionals.
We are absolutely the cool kids club.
That is awesome.
And you're located in Decatur, is that right?
We are in Decatur.
Yeah. Great. What kind of vendors do you have in the collaborative at this point?
We have, you really can do a pretty complete wedding in our little
Kevin
space.
Kevin loves that one-stop shop.
One-stop shop. That's good for me. So.
And we have a big screen TV.
Yes, so done. Totally all right.
Set. Sold.
So, yeah, you can find anything from wedding planners, cake artists, caterers.
Hair and makeup.
Hair and makeup. We have amazing hair and makeup people that I wish would do my makeup as I entered every day. We have... trying to think what I haven't mentioned.
Flowers?
Yes.
We have floral, video, photography, makeup, wedding planning.
Rentals.
Do you stick to like one per category or do you open
it
up?
That's a great question.
One thing that we do, we stay very boutique-y, and here is why. If somebody walked up to me and was like, I'm really looking for a new hairdresser, can you help me out? And I handed them a list of 5 or 6 people, they're going to ask somebody else.
Yep.
That's not a referral. You know, so we keep it. We try to cap it at 2 people. In the planning category, we have 3 simply because the 2 planners that we had were completely booked. So people were calling saying, do you have a planner? I was like, no. So that's when we expanded.
Yes and no. Yes, we yes have plans. Right. But you can't. No, they're not available.
So we kept it two, and we try to keep those two very, very different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there's two photography companies, we're going to be very photojournalistic, and then we're going to get a company that's going to be maybe they're very whimsical and, you know, kind of have a very different approach than we do. That way, we can fit the client no matter what they're looking for.
Sure.
So it's two in every category, and we try to make sure that they're very unique.
That's great.
Definitely. All right. So what's your contact information for all the listeners out there, and what's next for you guys?
Oh, boy. Contact information is our website is definitely the best way to kind of get a gist of what we do and be able to see everything. For the photography, it is thedecisivemoment.com. And then for the wedding loft, it's atlantaweddingloft.com.
Very easy. And what are you guys planning to do next? What's next on the agenda? What's the next project?
Oh. There's something there.
There's lots of projects.
So you keep it under wraps. Next time you come on, you guys can unveil the
absolutely.
New.
Absolutely. We're going
to
do
continued.
We're going to do a course for serial entrepreneurs that tell you how to narrow down. I'm just kidding.
All of our eyes perk up. We're like,
you're
oh,
like,
really?
There's help for that? Yes. We're going to help
you. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
My pleasure. Thanks for
you.
Having us.
All right. Well, last but not least, we have Vila. Violaine Dijonet, is that bad? I'm always butchering someone's name on the show. Please help me out.
It's Violaine Dijonet.
Okay, thank
Beautiful.
You.
Beautiful. Thank you.
So pretty.
With Andre Winfrey Events, right?
Yes.
I got that one right?
Yes, you
all
did.
Right.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's good. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your business.
I'm Violaine Dijonet of Andre Winfrey Events. We are a full-service planning and design firm in Atlanta. We specialize in weddings, but mostly destination weddings. We do full-service about 10 to 13 weddings at the most a year. 90% of that are destinations.
Okay. What destinations do you guys
hit? Gosh. This year, I was in Bali. I was in Kansas City. I was in Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Paris. I mean, it varies a great deal.
Man, yes, that sounds like such a hard job. Just no, but really, how did you get started in that industry?
I come from hotels. I used to be a director of sales, catering sales manager of private catering companies, and it's always been it's just love.
It's a passion of yours?
It is a huge passion. For about 15 years, I went to school for something completely different, but I always knew this is where I would end up.
Definitely. So you were sitting there, you were at hotels doing all this stuff, and they were paying you to do it, and you're like, I can do this myself. Why do I have these guys around?
Exactly. You know, I moved here to Atlanta about 7 years ago, and I was a wedding planner at Hilton, and I was fired in 2009. And when I left on a Tuesday morning, I was like, yo, I can do this. You know, I already knew so many people in Atlanta, and I already had a great client base in back home in Boston. So it was just second nature.
All right. So were there any challenges when you started out and started doing these weddings?
Not so much. You know, the challenge I think was just getting a name out there, coming up with a great name that was going to stand apart from just not a typical wedding planning company and not, you know, because we don't necessarily do a lot of corporate business, but that's something I would like to get into. So I wanted a name that wasn't going to be just weddings. And so that's how we came up with the name. I think that probably was the most challenging because I already had a reputation from being in the hotel.
Definitely. So I'm sure you have plenty of stories about, there's always, in the wedding industry, there's always chaos that goes on, and it's managed chaos, and it's behind the scenes, but what's the craziest thing that's ever happened at a wedding for you?
You know, I had a bride recently who got sick. The day of the wedding in April, actually, here in Atlanta, we were supposed to be in the church at 4:30. We were at the Ritz-Carlton, and we were supposed to be in Marietta at 4:30 to get dressed. My bride was released from the hospital at 4:30.
Wow.
Mm. But, you know, as a wedding planner, I think you have backup plan A through Z and backup plan A, B through Z, B, you know, that follows through that. And so it was just a lot of backup plans. And it was just managed. You know, we end up moving the wedding from Marietta to the Ritz-Carlton. We had the ceremony there. We had two coach buses and about eight limos waiting to transport guests to the ceremony. But, you know,
how did the Ritz-Carlton handle that? Were they very accommodating? They're a very nice place. I love that place.
So. Always. You know, that's one of the best properties I think you could always ever have a wedding in. It, they're very, very accommodating.
I bet she was absolutely in love with you. You saved her whole wedding right there. And I bet it was still wonderful, too, because the Ritz is a great, it's a great space.
It is a beautiful space. And, you know, when we get so involved with our clients, with our brides, that's what we love. And, you know, most of our brides end up being friends at the end of a wedding. And this is certainly a girlfriend, both she and her mom are good friends now. And, you know, we just called everybody and just said the wedding has been, you know, postponed for a couple of hours. And we ended up walking down the aisle at 7:45 in the evening. And the best compliment I think I received that evening was the guests who were staying in the Ritz said they would have never known if the ceremony wasn't scheduled to be at the Ritz because of how beautiful everything turned out to be.
Wow. So do you do local destinations also?
Like, we do.
I mean, there's like Saranby out there. There's a horrible frog winery that we had a story from where some wine got...
I keep looking for that in the news, too, and I haven't seen it.
I always ask everyone here, every show, we had someone come on, and one of my friends was there, and he told me about it, so I got it from two different points of view, but it was a local event for a bride. She rented out this local winery, and then the owners were really horrible to her, and then they wouldn't force people to leave, so she tried to get everyone to leave, but she had rented out the place, and someone threw wine on her wedding dress. So it was a very – and it was a Harvard lawyer, too, it turned out. So,
oh,
but.
No. Yeah, no, sir. That doesn't happen. You know, I think sometimes
– That's what I was thinking.
No, that doesn't happen. I mean, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, you know, sometimes when a bride undertakes a wedding planning on her own, you know, you underestimate what a professional can do for you. And
definitely. That
is definitely something, you know, we never go into a venue without research. If it's a new venue, we find out from other professionals, you know, what was your experience like at this particular venue? We never let a bride go in, you know, blind. I'm sure there would have been some kind of reference to something that might have happened prior.
Yeah. Really
there had to have been signs.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when you do destination weddings, is there a bit of trepidation with not having, I guess you've been to the venues ahead of time.
Yes.
You always do site visits and
always meet
with the vendors even out of state. How do you manage those relationships?
You know, with doing limited weddings, about 10 full-time service weddings is what we do a year. And we do it because of things like that. So when we have vendor days, it's required. We've had weddings, for example, in St. Lucia. My God, I think I took about...
I love St. Lucia.
St. Lucia is just absolutely stunning. It is. It's a beautiful destination. We ended up flying to St. Lucia about 5 times that year, you know, just to attend vendor meetings.
So. Poor you, man. Tough life. Tough life right here.
It is a tough life, but hey, a girl had it.
I'm with you,
though,
on limiting the number of weddings. I limit mine to 5 a year.
Do you need an intern?
So. Yeah. Do you need radio? Do you need radio with this wedding?
No, destination weddings are great. And, you know, you build reputation. I like to go back to venues that I'm familiar with. You know, if I've dealt with a property management company, I like to go back to them. You know, and if I know a local, you know, great sales rep for a different management company, if I'm familiar with that management company, that's who I'm going to go back to. So you do build great relationships.
Yeah.
And even if you cannot afford to have us fly out as often, but Skype and, of course, email and telephone, my gosh, you know, they do that with them and it's easy.
Yeah,
definitely. So you won an award recently in 2013.
Yes.
What was that? Talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we were voted Best Wedding Planner 2013 by Jezebel Magazine, which was such an honor. And, you know, what a great surprise, especially because we're so small. We don't mass produce weddings. And that was actually a good shock. It was like, what? Really?
They're always very humbling. You're like, oh, me?
I know. But I was really like, oh, my gosh, really? This is awesome. It was great. I mean, you know, I heard someplace, you know, when you win an award, it's a third-party verification that you actually know what you're talking about or what you're doing. So it's just nice to be recognized, especially when you're not so, you know, here in Atlanta all the time.
Definitely. Well, do you have any advice for anyone that might want to be like you? And I do want to point out, I love this. When I was reading through your bio, you have a degree in marine biology and biotechnology.
I do.
They're very far from the wedding planning industry.
My mother reminds me every day.
I bet she does.
You know, for somebody who's starting out, I would say just be you. You know, find out who you are. You know, get experience. You know, go through the hard times. You know, none of us got here overnight who are successful in this industry. You know, we all have the battle scars to prove it. And allow yourself, you know, to go through those battle scars. And yes, we all have competitors, but don't look at what your competitors are doing. You know, think about, what do you want to do? How do you want your clients to be? Who's your great clientele? And what kind of planner do you want to be? And then take it from there, and your clients will follow you.
I love it. So what's next for you guys?
You know, we're trying to be here in Atlanta a little more, have a little more, just be a little more of a staple in Atlanta and not so much known for destination weddings, which is what we're known for. So that's going to be something that we're going to try to concentrate on in the next year. And we do, we did recently just introduce an Andre Winfrey proposal, which is for grooms. We've done that in the past, but this year it's been a great thing for us, just getting requests from our grooms who want to do something different in their proposals. And It's been awesome. So that's going to be something
that sounds like a lot of fun.
That does sound like
it. That sounds like great fun.
It's going to be amazing. We're
means
excited.
That the grooms don't have to do any like creative thinking. They get to take the credit, right?
Exactly.
I love that. Love that right there.
Yeah, just take the credit, and we hire out the photographer. We set up the perfect setting for
engagement
them.
Season is right around the corner too. Yeah.
So we're really, really
There's
excited.
There's a season for that?
Yes, there is.
There is. Yes, there
single
is.
Single season.
All right. Well, how do our listeners reach out and contact you?
Well, we are on through our website. It's the best. You could get to know us, and we have a great blog, and it's AndreWinfreyEvents.com. On email, it's events@AndreWinfreyEvents.com, and we're on Twitter, and it's V Diogene, DIOGENE.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on
and
sharing all that great information. And thanks to all our guests today. You guys were all great. It was a great show. Jessica, I always like to check in before I close the show. How is your Ventrepreneur group going? I love saying that, Ventrepreneur.
It's great. It's a great great space for people to collaborate, and several of these people are in the group. But, yeah, it's good. Thank you.
It's your cool kids club. So.
Yeah, a little bit.
And you guys are going to have an event soon coming up? Maybe?
Yeah, we're planning an event. I'm going to be talking to Sun in My Belly about doing it possibly at their
awesome.
Location.
And if you have good food, you know I will crash it for you in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. All right.
Well, this is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park and all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Meeting Pros.